Good morning, everybody. This is your host, Justin Williams, and you are listening to Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. Thank you so much for joining me. It is an honor to be your host today. I love what I do. I love my job, and I am so glad that you guys are here with me today. And one of my favorite things, as you guys, some of you guys often find out about me, is that I absolutely love the food culture here. Also, and this is what we're here to talk about today, we have a big beer culture, subculture, which I find fascinating and beautiful. And so my guest is someone who is a creative, a podcaster, and the leader and creator of the Alaska Beer Broads, which goes out to support local breweries and continues to not only teach about that beer culture, but learn about it and get together in camaraderie and share their passion for the beers and the local breweries that supply them. So I have Delaney Nichols here with me. Delaney, good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
It's going. I'm happy to be here. We've been talking about this for a little while.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. You won't have to pay me till later. I'm super happy to have you. You know, you and I have had a lot of just like creative sessions together where we brainstorm about things that we want to do and mm-hmm. things that we are doing and how to, you know, continue to support and encourage each other. And so seeing Alaska Beer Broads the way that I've seen it from my point of view, I just see it as this really, really important force in this otherwise oversaturated like sub community, right? Mm-hmm. Because everyone wants to make beer in their garages and everyone wants to open up a brewery and everyone wants to be like, oh, look at me, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, there's a certain authenticity about you and about Beer Broads that you present to this culture. Like you're actually aiming to support what's out there instead of use those products to present some sort of front. The way that your group is very, very inclusive with events, the way that you coordinate them with breweries, the way that you invite other people, the way that you manage, your Facebook group, the post that you make on the Instagram group. You know, it's really exciting to see this thing start from where it started and to observe it grow and grow and grow and see the opportunities that you have. And I think you're doing a magnificent job of leading it.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah, well, before we get into Alaska Beer Broads, like, tell me about yourself. You're from Alaska like me, right?
Right, yes. Yeah. I'm originally from Nome. And I moved here when I turned 18 in about 2008, and I've been here ever since.
Well, outside of, you know, Beer Broads, you know, how do you spend your time?
Well, by day, I'm a full-time mama.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. So that's my day job.
Right.
Because it is a full-time job. So yes. By day, I'm mama. And in the evenings, I work at Brown Jug. And so that's... So I can get my hands on some beer, right. You know, yeah. Hang out with beer all the time.
Right.
I really enjoy my job at Brown Jug and I really enjoy my job being a mom. Mm-hmm. But when I'm not doing those things, I'm hanging out with my broads.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to get with, you know, any of my girls. And I have a boyfriend. I hang out with him sometimes, but mostly it's hanging out with my girls.
I like that. So you're constantly surrounded by the thing that you're most passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
Beer is a very particular kind of niche craft beer. So how did you get into that?
Into craft beer?
Into craft beer specifically, yeah.
Well, I started drinking beers not having any idea what a good beer was. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of in that after college kind of drinking cheap beer kind of phase. I had a friend that worked at Organic Oasis and they had organic strawberry beer by Samuel Smith. Mm-hmm. And it's a very popular, common organic beer. And I was like, beer can taste good. Like, right. It can taste this awesome. And it was an organic strawberry beer. And that's also a reference from a movie called Beer Fest, where they have the organic strawberry beer. So I always thought it was hilarious. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
But it made me want to try other types of beer. I was like, whoa, mm-hmm. beer can taste amazing. So I started, you know, trying things on tap. And I started with dark beers.
Okay.
And I really, really, really enjoyed them. I was like, wow. You know, my first stout was like, it was like heaven in my mouth. Really? It was really, really good.
Wow.
So I started drinking all kinds of dark beers. But that was in about, that was after I turned 21.
Okay.
So I started, when I, you know, started drinking legally, I was I was already starting to have an experienced palate. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of my friends, too, I mean, it was a big thing here in Anchorage, you know.
Yeah.
The brewery is like Midnight Sun Brewery, the OG.
Right.
You know, they had great beers, and my friends would take me there, and I would try different things and love everything I tried.
Yeah.
And love to taste it.
Yeah.
And that's what I just, I enjoy the flavors of the beers that I try. That's why I like doing my tastings.
Right.
Because I can taste a little bit. I don't really enjoy like drinking a whole beer all the time because that's a lot. It's like having a meal.
It's heavy. Yeah.
Yeah. So I enjoyed just doing the tastings and the flights and stuff like that.
For sure. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. When I think of beer, my relationship with it is obviously really different. Like I could probably count on maybe, well, no, that's, I was going to say I can count on two hands how many times. No, I drink more than that. but it's not like the special thing for me that it is for you, right? So like the foods that I grew up with and, you know, wanting to support the businesses that supplied those things is what kind of, you know, put me on like my food reviewing journey and like stuff like that, you know, and a couple of other incentives as well, but mostly those two things. So, you know, for Alaska Beer Broads, you are really on the forefront of letting people know about something that you're very, very passionate about and really largely because of the way that you explained it. Mm-hmm. So for Alaskans listening in, tell them what Alaska Beer Bronze is and what is it that you do?
Well, I created the group, the Facebook group, so that I can have broads to drink beer with.
Yeah.
That's why I created the group. And I kind of did a survey on all of my social medias asking all of these broads, would you enjoy having beer with me? Or do you enjoy Alaska's craft beer? And so the response was overwhelming. Like there were so many girls that were like, yes, yes, I want to drink beers with you. And so I thought that was really, really rad. And I immediately started the group. And as soon as I did, so many girls were sharing what they were drinking and, you know, sharing or asking for recommendations, you know, and just wanting to get together and hang out. So what Beer Broads was created to do, it does. It brings girls together to talk about beer. We're Alaskan beer fans.
Right.
That's, you know, we're not professional connoisseurs or anything. We're fans of, that's mostly what our group consists of is beer fans. And so what we do is just we get together and we drink beer.
Right.
We talk about beer. We try to get together at least once a month. But within the group, you can just reach out to a broad or just let people know, hey, you want to hang out this weekend or we want to check out a brewery? That's what it's for.
Okay.
It's just a network to connect with other broads. And it's done that. But we've also done a bunch of other stuff with that, with our gatherings and our meetups. We've also started the podcast, which was really fun to do. We did the tasting videos, which are really fun to do, which really was what got girls more interested in what we were drinking versus, you know, getting together and trying to get together for a drink.
Right. So what are some of the events that you've been able to coordinate with other breweries and kind of use social media to let people know this is where we're at, come join us?
Well, when our group was still a baby and brand new, Sinister Brewery actually reached out to us and offered to give us a brewery tour. And we thought that was so rad.
Yeah.
We felt so special. We felt so honored because it was a new brewery and we wanted to try, you know, new beer. So that was really, really special to us. Sinister is really, really special to us because they really, you know, they saw that we were a girl group that was interested in beer and in the industry, and we want to learn more.
Yeah.
Because that is something that overall in the whole group, like all of the women, they want to learn more. They want to learn more about the brew. So that was really special to do the brewery tour. That was really fun.
Yeah.
We've had meetups, like I said, once a month where we just meet at different breweries. We had a bike tour. We did the bike tour, which we went to, I think, 8 locations on bikes.
Yeah.
That was intense. That was really, really hard. And then we'd stop for a beer at each one, too. So, but it was really fun. It was, I mean, my legs were burning the next day, but it was totally worth it. We earned those beers that day.
You definitely did.
It was really fun. But yeah, stuff like that. We just, that's what the group is for. Like I said, we want girls to reach out to each other and have a beer together. You know, we have like, we go out camping, we've gone on hikes. We just meet at each other's houses, hang out.
Yeah. So you have a lot to offer with the group.
Well, we didn't know that until we have 240 women in our group right now, in our Facebook group. And, you know, I don't know how many followers on TikTok and Instagram, you know, but because I'm really more focused on the Facebook group. You know, we show off a little bit of what we do and what we're doing on TikTok and Instagram. But within the group, all of the girls seem to enjoy having the access to knowledge or the access to things that are going on or events, you know, and people that are in the industry. And we didn't know that we were providing that at first. You know, we thought we were just a place to gather and hang out and drink beer. But people actually come to us as like a resource to find events, brewers, beer, you know, specific ones or tastings or. So, yeah, we didn't really expect that to happen, but it's kind of a blessing.
It is. And so I would defer to you as an expert, you know, maybe not like you said, like, the, you know.
And I'm not an expert in the least, but I am such an amateur. I am. I really am. I know I'm still learning a lot. I actually have a book to help me study tasting beer. And I just know, I know what I enjoy and I know what I like. So when I'm tasting, I know what I'm looking for. Yeah. Which is drinkability and a good flavor. That's the basis of what I look for when I'm tasting.
Okay.
And a beer nerd, you know, or somebody who is like a connoisseur.
Right.
Knows that there is so much more to a beer than that.
Right.
So much more.
When you first said drinkability, I was like, what does she mean by that?
Yeah, wow. That I don't want it to hurt when I'm drinking it. Because a lot of alcoholic beverages are like that.
Yes.
And I don't, I want to enjoy what I'm drinking. I don't want to just feel it.
Yeah, it's kind of how I feel about spicy food, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some people's idea of spicy is just heat. Spice should be flavor. It should really contribute to the overall flavor of it. I don't want it to just be hot just for it to be hot. That, you know, in terms of a beverage, then like, yeah, I have a better understanding now of drinkability.
Yeah.
Does the weight of a beer matter to you? You know, how hefty it feels once it's like actually in your system?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm finding what my stomach does and doesn't agree with when it comes to certain beers, which is really sad. I'm in denial about it, but, you know, there are, some of the heavier ones, like the stouts, I eat light or you pair with, you know, something that you're not going to get too full with. But that's why I like tastings, because I can have the smaller glasses instead of drinking like a full bottle of
some. Yeah,
it's not always my preference, but if it's heavy, then I sip,
right?
And then if it's lighter, then I'll crush it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Strategic.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to be with something like beer as you're learning your tolerance, mm-hmm. right? On top of, you know, what your taste buds are actually like, you know, down to ride for, you
right.
know. So I understand that. You know, food is the same way. I mean, honestly, like even other beverages, like non-alcoholic beverages are really the same way. When I stopped drinking like soda, I realized how much lighter things like, I don't know, like sparkling water was.
Right.
Right. And it still has that flavor and that carbonation, but it doesn't sit in my stomach like a brick.
Right.
Nor does it refuse to actually quench my thirst. You know, it just tastes good.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But it doesn't make me feel better.
Right.
So the wanted effects of the beverage mm-hmm. really do matter too. How it affects my system, how it affects my body. So that makes a whole lot of sense. The taste testings you mentioned. So how do you go about the taste testings? You've already kind of explained like what you're looking for, but what is it exactly that you want to show the audience? Like, do you just want to tell them what you like specifically and kind of like recommend that to, you know, the other beer broads interested?
Yes. Well, originally the tasting videos idea was so that we can highlight Alaska's local Alaskan beer. You know, we really wanted to show off the good craft beer that Alaska had. So that was the idea that started it.
Mm-hmm.
I generally taste different beers all the time anyway. So I really right. wanted to share, you know, what I was tasting with everybody else. So the combination of the two, you know, showing off Alaska's local craft beer and then just wanting to share what I was trying was really the motivation behind that.
Okay.
And they became so fun.
Right.
They were so fun to do.
Are they fun to do because there's a word for how charismatic someone is in front of a camera, and I can't think of that word right now. But is it fun for you because you're in front of the camera or because of who you do the tastings with?
It's definitely easier for me to be in front of a camera versus behind a mic. I do better on the video tastings than I do on the podcast. And I feel like it's because I'm just having a beer.
Right.
I feel like it's, you know, just me relaxing and being honest about it. And that's important to me, too, is just to be straight up honest. Mm-hmm. Whether I like a beer or I don't like a beer, I'd like to share my honest opinion about it and whether or not I enjoy it. And so, yeah. Whenever we do the tasting videos, it's pretty much just having fun and enjoying a beer. So I enjoy doing the tasting videos. We haven't done any in a while,
right?
But I miss doing those. And we used to do it live within the Facebook group too.
Right.
So we do it live and then we started sharing it on Instagram and TikTok and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd definitely like to see that come back and, you know, maybe even join you for one.
Definitely.
I'd obviously be there to learn, right? Because I'm no expert in the field. But that would be something that I would love to see come back for sure. Because it looks like you're always just so vibrant when you do them. You know, you look like you're having a good time and that you're comfortable in your element, right?
That's really important.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Speaking of a good time, I'm so glad that you're here with me in the studio. This is Hometown Alaska. This is your host, Justin Williams, speaking, and I am here in the studio with Delaney Nichols of Alaska Beer Broads. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Thank you. Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Justin Williams, and I'm here in the studio with Delaney Nichols, the creator and founder of Alaska Beer Broads. And we are here just talking about beer. Unfortunately, not drinking any.
Right.
But we have beer on the mind. And, you know, in a sort of celebration of the beer culture in Anchorage, Alaska. Beer Broads does an amazing job of promoting inadvertently or otherwise other local breweries that are out here doing their thing in a way that I don't really see other people, especially on social media, do that. I'm always seeing, like, you know, food reviews. I'm part of a million food review groups. Oh, you got to come to this new place, come to this new joint, blah, blah, blah. I just checked out this joint, that joint. But I usually don't hear people post a picture of a new beer and say, yo, I got this at Midnight Sun, Magnetic North, Cena Shore, wherever. You guys got to try this. I highly recommend it, right? So what has your experience been with, like, your social media presence, like using that to kind of put other breweries on the map?
Well, the Facebook group, there's not a lot of breweries. I mean, there are now a lot of breweries on social media. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time when they're starting out, they're not really on social media.
Yeah.
And Facebook is where a lot of them start. So that's where we, you know, our first... You know, we try to share within Facebook.
Yeah.
When we started our Instagram, we were seeing, you know, that a lot of the breweries have a social media presence too. So we can tag them in what we're sharing about them. So that was, you know, a way that we can, you know, highlight these awesome beers from these awesome breweries, especially the smaller ones that are, you know, getting a little bit bigger now, or that have been around for a couple of years now. So, yeah, that kind of is why we started the Instagram, so that we can share more for the breweries, really. Mm-hmm. You know, not really just share, you know, what we're drinking, but just so we can shout them out more, you know?
Yeah.
Be like, we see you. Yeah. You're awesome. We love your beer.
And I love that, too, because they need it, right? And I know they absolutely appreciate it.
And there are quite a few... I mean, you probably don't see them on your feed because your algorithm is probably like so much food.
Right.
But mine for Alaska Beer Broads is so much beer.
Yeah.
And so there are a lot of other people, like beer fans, that do share a lot of Alaskan beer.
I like to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That makes me feel a lot better.
Yeah.
Right. Because like, I want to see these local businesses continue to flourish, you know, I mean. And yeah, you're right. You know, my algorithm will only really shove in my face the breweries that I've been to, right? Mm-hmm. The breweries that I have talked about and the breweries that I really, really enjoy. You know, and speaking of the fans, one thing that I love so much about Beer Broads is that it is, as inclusive as it is, the idea of it is for women to get together specifically. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of camaraderie in that. And discovering, okay, there are other women like me that enjoy beer the way that I do.
Right.
And here we are. Now we, like you said, when you started the group, you had an overwhelming response.
Yeah.
So how has it been for you, right, to be surrounded by so many like-minded women that are willing to learn about beer the way that you do? And for some of them, I would imagine, to defer to you as kind of the go-to person.
Well, I'm living. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I always want to do things for women, you know, with women, about women. I love to do stuff with women.
Absolutely.
So when I was starting the group and I was asking everybody else, you know, do you just want to have a beer with me? Would you like to have beer with me? You know, that made me feel really good that, you know, a lot of women wanted to do that. And they wanted to do it with other women, too. Like, a lot of friendships have become just from these meetups, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not just empowering, you know, just to strengthen each other and be with each other and have support over a beer, you know, like right. just enjoy a conversation over a beer. But it's also a good learning experience because we all want to learn more.
Right.
And we're all learning from each other more and asking each other more questions and stuff like that. So I like that. I like that we can, I mean, I am a go-to to help you find your answers
right.
when it comes to beer. Mm-hmm. You know, like if I don't know it, we'll figure it out together,
right.
you know, because I'm still learning too.
Yeah.
And the interest that all the other women have too in learning more about the craft or, you know, enjoying a beer has been really awesome too. I didn't realize, so I thought I was going to be learning from everybody. You know, I was just going to be like, you know, hey, what do I need to know about brewing a beer? You know, because right. I'm not a brewer.
Mm-hmm.
So, but a lot of people come to me with that kind of stuff, which makes me have to, figure this
figure
stuff
it out.
Out.
Right.
So I think it's really cool. I think it's been really fun. I think it's been really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, go women. I love to do stuff with women.
Yeah.
So that I'm living.
You're
I'm
living.
Totally, I'm living. Just having my beer girl group.
Have they inspired you to try to do something that you haven't done before? Like, have you tried brewing your own?
I have never had any interest in brewing.
Really?
Beer. So many of my friends do. And like, I even have brothers that have brewed before, but I've never had any interest in brewing beer.
Okay.
And I'm interested in understanding brewing a beer, you know, but no, I'm just not a maker.
Yeah.
That's not my strength.
Right.
You know? I'm more of a consumer.
You know your lane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've gotten to know got to meet a lot of female brewers.
Yeah.
Which is really, really rad.
Okay.
And I think it's like female Alaskan brewers.
Yeah.
They are so beautiful. So freaking beautiful. I think, you know, I love it. I get so hyped for the lady brewers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you see like a lot of lady brewers here in Anchorage? Like
there's a whole society of lady brewers. Have you never heard of Pink Boots Society?
I have heard of Pink Boots Society.
Okay.
But the thing about Pink Boots Society is, I guess it's kind of like what you said is like they're on my Instagram, right? Mm-hmm. But I never see them on my Facebook. Mm-hmm.
I am so inspired by them. I am so inspired. I am a fangirl.
Yeah.
I am a big time fangirl of Pink Boots Society.
Absolutely.
And like I said, I'm not a brewer, but I am so inspired by them and the fact that they can teach and encourage each other to, you know, teach more women to brew right. in Alaska is really, really rad.
Right. And so what is the main purpose of the Pink Boots Society?
I think to brew.
To just brew.
Yes.
And that's
I think,
it.
Well, no. They do a lot more.
Yeah.
But like I said, I'm very inspired by the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And they I almost said they brew lady brewers. they teach. And they do collaboration brews all over the state.
Yeah.
All over breweries and our breweries all over the state.
That's
so.
Rad.
Yeah.
So they're not just based in Anchorage. They're expanding.
It's a national organization, but they have a chapter here in Alaska.
See, that I didn't know. I didn't even know that. I thought they were just Alaska.
No. Yeah. Okay. Pink Boots is a national thing.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah. It's really
cool. Wow. Okay. So you have the people who inspire you. You're learning a lot from these breweries. Do you have any particular mentorship? Or are you just always kind of just looking for for people to learn from?
Oh, if I want to know something from somebody, I'll ask them directly.
Okay.
I will.
You're a pretty
I will.
Direct person.
Yes, yes. And I have these inspirational contact questionnaires I give to people if I want to know, you know, more about how they conduct their business or, you know, how they start. Like if I want to find something out, I will go straight to the source and I will ask somebody. And thankfully, within the beer and the craft brew community, they love to teach.
Mm.
They really love to teach.
Yeah.
And nobody has been rude to me about being an amateur beer fan. Right. You know, nobody has been like, well, what is she? You know, she doesn't even know how to. Nobody has ever, you know, treated me badly. Everybody okay. within the community has been willing to teach me. And like, if I use the wrong verbiage, they're like, no. Or if, like, for instance, a lot of beers in their names, they have the names of the hops that mm-hmm. they use. And one was called like Stratosphere, but spelt not like the word Stratosphere. And I was like, what the heck? In one of my tastings, I was like, that's not spelled right, you know? But it was the name of the hop, Strata Hops. Mm. So that was spelt Stratosphere instead of Stratosphere. It is. So I was like, okay. Thank you for that.
Right.
You know, thank you for reaching out and being polite. And, you know, they're like, Strata Hops. So people are really within the craft beer community, really open to teaching us, mm-hmm. which I think is really, really helpful, really nice.
I really like that too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things that defines an expert, like for me as an individual, is not just how much knowledge they've acquired or how much of that they apply to the way they move in business, in life, but their teachability themselves, mm-hmm. right? Once you decide you know enough, and that you can't be taught anything else, kind of slide backwards a little
right.
bit, right? Instead of, because you can't really be stagnant. I feel like you're moving forward or you're moving backwards. So an expert is someone, for me, who's always willing to learn,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they're going to get that knowledge.
Yeah.
That's inevitable. But it starts with the willingness. So I'm really, really happy to hear that. In the community that you have crafted, the networks that you've built with these brewers, not only are they willing to teach, but you're also willing to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And you're constantly inspired because, you know, the beer broads and you know, on Facebook, on Instagram, they're asking you these questions. They do look to you because you're that person.
Well, and that's what I never set out to be either. I would never set out to be like the beer broad.
Mm-hmm.
Who the beer broad is an Alaskan broad who loves beer.
Yeah.
Like, she is every woman. She is the Alaskan woman. And I chose beer broads because that describes kind of Alaskan women. You know, we're a little more tougher, a little more right. rugged, and a little batty, you
yeah.
know, like we're really, but beautiful.
Yeah.
And so I like used the word broad to describe the Alaskan broad, the Alaskan beer broad. But it's not just me.
Right.
It's the 240 women in the group.
Yeah.
It's the woman who has the beer after her long day or likes to go brewery hopping or mm-hmm. just likes to have her beer on the mountain after she's hiked up it. You know, like, Alaska Beer Broads is every woman. It's not just me.
Yeah. And that's part of the beautiful thing about the culture, too, is that we will find any excuse to have a beer.
Yeah.
You know, and it supplies us with energy and solace, you know. And Alaska is a very busy place. It doesn't matter what kind of job you have, what kind of hobbies you do, you're busy. You're on the go. You're moving. I have one child, you have four. We're busy.
Yeah.
You know. And rewarding ourselves with a beer afterwards is just, that's just Alaska. It's mm-hmm. just commonplace. So what's your favorite kind of beer like? Is there a certain kind of beer that you kind of lean towards after a particular activity? Like, what's your favorite, like, after work beer?
Something light, something crushable.
Yeah.
Something that I can just get refreshed. Like, the King Street Squeezes are my go-to,
mm-hmm.
like, chill out beer, because it's a light sour. It's not a seltzer.
Yeah.
But it has that same kind of like just light. I call it like a soda beer because it reminds me of like a soda.
Yeah.
But it's a beer, but it's really easy to drink and it's really refreshing and it's not painful.
Right.
It's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, that's my like style, light and crushable.
Okay.
Which would be like a sour or, yeah, definitely a sour.
Is that something you would recommend for someone who, you know, doesn't know a whole lot about beer or doesn't really drink beer but would like to start drinking beer more casually and start to enjoy it, get into it, something light and crushable?
I think that's an easy, way. I think that's kind of a cheat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of a cheat. Like, if I mean, and there's people who like the fruitier palates, right, you know, that have a fruitier palate and that like the fruitier beers. Mm-hmm. But if I were going to start drinking beer, like, I started on IPAs.
Right.
And like darks and stouts and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, really heavy hitters. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't recommend that. Yeah. I would recommend you just having a really good lager or an ale, mm, and really like examine it and take it in and really absorb the beer and the flavors and really study it. That's what I would like, lighter beers, like a lager or an ale. But I mean, lagers can be heavy too. It just depends on the style. There are so many ways of brewing beer anymore, or like the styles of, of beer.
One of the first beers I remember we drank together, you introduced me to, was the, I don't remember, the brand, but it was like a peanut butter stout. Do you remember that?
I've had a few peanut butter ones.
They're delicious.
But I gave you one?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're never going to remember the one either, because
no way.
I've had so many peanut butter stouts.
Yeah.
That's actually one of the, was one of my bucket list beers. Like, I wanted to try a bunch of peanut butter stouts.
Yeah.
And they're not awful. They're actually really,
really
good.
No, they're not. No, peanut butter is so good.
Yeah. And then you make it in a beer?
That's pretty rad.
That's like the best thing you can do for an adult.
Yeah. I think that one of my favorite things about beer is how creative you can get with the flavors, mm-hmm, right? Like, we talked about sours and fruity stuff, which is my go-to. I love sours. Mm-hmm. Are there any flavors or any kinds of beer that you would just avoid completely because you just don't like?
Barley wines.
Barley wines.
The flavor is just so bold for me.
Right.
And I do kind of have like a weak, like, sissy palate. But I do like barley wines. I sip, I taste, I'll try anything once or twice, you know, until I like it, hopefully.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't prefer barley wines.
Okay.
But they have like a richer, I can't even say deeper, like a sometimes smoky, caramelly, sweet kind of like flavor. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot for me.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
And they also have like higher alcohol content.
Right.
So. Mm. I mean, you want to talk about eating your beverage for a meal. That's what it feels like.
Right. Well, And one of my favorite things that I like about how versatile, you know, craft beer here is that that versatility comes with creativity.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be creative to be relevant, I feel. And you have to be innovative and interesting. A lot of like the stronger alcohols that I've tasted just kind of taste like, you know, you squeeze a Sharpie and the permanent marker juice comes out and then you just drink it. Like that's like how it tastes to me. And I just like, ah. Whereas craft beer, it's a different experience altogether. You know, and one of my favorite things too is just like going to like, you know, a store in town, Gold Rush, whatever, mm-hmm, and just observing the designs of the beer, the designs of the cans, the branding and the marketing.
For a cool label.
Radical.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah. My graphic designer mind just explodes. And it doesn't do that with soda or juice, but for some reason, when it comes to selling liquor, the labels, I mean, oh my gosh, they're mind blowing. So like for you, you're obviously very, very attracted to that. Mm-hmm. Like, why do you think that sort of presentation for like a beer can or a beer bottle is like that important?
Well, I couldn't answer for, you know, the label makers.
Right.
But for me, my opinion is there is such a type of person in a brewer, like they're so cool, you know, really like usually like laid back, just happy to brew in their happy place, you know, and I think that comes through in a lot of the labels, you know, mm-hmm, like it shows kind of the personality of the brewery and the brewers to me, you know what I mean? And like the brew.
Yeah.
So I like that. I think that that's important. But I'm also, like I said, I'm a sucker for a good label.
Absolutely.
I think the trick is, you'll see that the IPAs have the nicest labels,
yeah,
the coolest labels, the awesomest labels, and it's because they want you to try it.
Right.
It might be hard to try. It might be hard to take. So that's just my
interesting.
I think that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I think that just brewing and the brewery culture kind of thing is really cool. Like, they come up with cool names for their beers.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't the labels be rad too, you know?
Right.
I think it's just kind of the culture is just really cool. And
mm-hmm.
So they make really cool stuff.
They
produce really cool things.
They have to.
Yeah.
Because, you know? Yeah, I mean, even non-beer drinkers will be, like, interested. They'll be drawn to something, right? It's kind of like going to, like, Blockbuster or Video City when you're a kid, you know? And you see a movie that maybe looks fun, but you don't really know what it's about. But you kind of want it just because the cover art looks cool.
Right.
You know? And so I think it's a very good tactic.
I know. I'm not saying that beers suck, but and the better the label, the suckier the beer. Definitely not. Like, a lot of the times, if the label is rad, the beer is rad too for me.
Absolutely.
It's really, really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Danielle about it before. I was like, you know, this label tricked me because it was a heavier, higher alcohol content.
Yeah.
And it was a hoppier beer.
Okay.
And that's not my favorite, mm-hmm. you know, but I was like, that darn label, it got me.
It got you.
But yeah, that happens not as more often than not. I'm enjoying the beer with the rad label. And I save them. I have a beer journal where I save the beer labels
that I
like.
That's very cool.
With the fun, cool names and stuff.
Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. That I'm sure that helps with the inspiration in general.
Mm-hmm.
Do the Beer Broads have any upcoming events that you want to tell Alaska about?
No, we're going to plan something for September. There's Oktoberfest coming up, which is, you know, we usually, if there is a local event going on, then we'll just attend that or something.
Sure.
So, no, we just will reach out to each other within the group.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where can we find you specifically?
Okay. You can find us on Facebook and Facebook groups. It's facebook.com/groups/Alaska Beer Broads. And you have to answer a few questions to get in just so that we make sure we're following the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to be 21 and over.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But if you reach out to us, we'll probably add you to the group. And you can find us on Instagram, too, Alaska Beer Broads. And we're also on TikTok, where we just share whatever we're doing.
Right.
At the time. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you for tuning in with us. Our guest today was Delaney Nichols, creator of Alaska Beer Broads. After this short break, we'll be back with State of Art.
Alaska Public Media, this is State of Art. Welcome to State of Art on Hometown Alaska, your weekly dose of Anchorage arts and culture. I'm Ammon Swenson. Before I came to the green pastures of public radio, I spent the better part of a decade working at the Beartooth Grill. That's where I first met my guest, Steph Johnson. She spent 20 years with the company, eventually managing the grill and the theater pub. These days, she's working as a consultant, helping other restaurants find their way. Originally from a small mountain town in Colorado, she came up here to try something new.
As soon as I got to Anchorage, I did the classic, you know, this is going to sound like I walked uphill both ways to school, but I moved up here with like $200 to my name and spent most of that on a fare to get up here. So immediately, I had a place to live. I had a friend who was here, but immediately I needed jobs, plural. So I got off the plane. A friend of mine was working at the Middleway at the time. I walked to the Middleway. And he said, this is what you do. Handed me the Anchorage Press. So like right immediately coming into town, first stop, Middleway, next Anchorage Press, start looking through the want ads. Also in a very like, that's so Anchorage moment. Later that night, they took me to the Moose's Tooth. And then there was a little head shop on Spinard called the Indica House. And they had, I think it was Nervous Rex was playing there. It was like such a like early 2000s Anchorage scene. But one of the first ads that I saw in the paper was for the Beartooth, and they were opening a new restaurant. It was the Beartooth Grill. So the theater pub had been open, but they were opening their new restaurant. And I had just always wanted to work in restaurants. So this was like, this was my big opportunity. You know, just I was shedding past layers and trying on new things. And so why not? So I'm grateful for my timing there because it was really something to see something from beginning to 20 years later.
Yeah. Well, and it's kind of like, you know, fortuitous that it just happened like mm-hmm. that when you needed it. You were probably more like, oh, man, I need this job, not this is going to be, you know, my career.
And yeah.
Like being able to kind of shift your responsibilities, take on more, learn mm-hmm. a ton, probably influence, I don't know how many, like hundreds of employees probably that came in under you. Let's talk about your role as a restaurant consultant. Mm-hmm. So you've talked about it's kind of evolving, and I'm sure depending on the client, they can have various needs and stuff like that. But I thought you summed it up nicely when you said, you know, it's mostly helping with the unsexy side mm-hmm. of the restaurant business. So, you know, what do some of those things look like that you would maybe be directing, helping a client kind of navigate?
Most people who get into the restaurant world, especially smaller restaurants, they're coming with either a passion for people, a passion for food, or both. And we're always going to go towards the path of least resistance at work. So the thing that I'm good at and the thing that drew me to this place and the thing that arguably like I need to show up with the most is going to be serving people or making food. So I think we can generally feel pretty safe that those things are going to get taken care of for the most part in any restaurant. Behind all that stuff is a lot of, like I said, very unsexy things to worry about. It can be clarity in the workplace. Is everyone's job spelled out enough that they can be empowered to do them and have clarity around where their job, where theirs ends and someone else's begins, so there's not conflict where people are stepping over each other? It can also be really unfun stuff like inventory management. You know, there's restaurants require a lot of money. They are definitely not the easiest way to get rich fast, you know, and the amount of things that you have to purchase to make a plate of food is pretty surprising. And as soon as you buy that thing, that's the freshest it's ever going to be. So managing your inventory in a way where you haven't tied up all of your money in inventory, mm-hmm. it's important. That being, you know, the flip side of that is if you're buying things in such small quantities that you're missing the ability to scale and save money on orders, that's also a problem. So there's lots of different ways and places and spaces that they're important things, but they're not the most important thing on any given Friday night. So it's
totally.
It's all the fallout stuff that most people who open a restaurant, because there are so many hurdles that you're going to have to go through to even get the place open, we're talking about really smart, really compassionate, very driven people. Like there's something that brought them to that. It's not an easy thing to do. So what I like to help with is I don't come in assuming that I have all of the answers and I can do the things and, oh, you just, you know, you're not smart enough to figure it out. My assumption is that people do know enough to know where their weaknesses are, but they need help getting that job done so that they can focus on the things that really brought them to the place in the first place. So cooking or people. So I just want to help free people up from the things that become too big to just really dive into when the ticket printer's printing, right?
Totally. From your perspective, what is an optimal dining experience, you know, regardless of whether it's, you know, fine dining or just kind of a turn and burn establishment?
Sure. I think there's like three main factors to any good restaurant or any good eating establishment. It could be a snack bar. It's the service, it's the food, and then it's the way it feels. Ambiance doesn't need to be this thing that's like highly orchestrated and it doesn't need to be beautiful, but it needs to speak to who you are and the type of vibe you're trying to put across. So to me, an optimal experience would be a place where the people behind the business, I can kind of understand and see and feel who they are. Just by being there. Yeah. And that might be, it might be the intensity of the lighting. It might be the way their menu's laid out. These little passive ways that people can speak to who they are in this setting. So it's not beating you over the head with anything. It's a little bit quieter. So I want to be able to kind of understand who the people are there behind the business without it being the main course, so to speak.
We caught up before this interview and we talked about how when a restaurant is doing its job well, the customer probably isn't even going to be aware of the million decisions or steps it took to get to that hot plate of food. Could you maybe just kind of give a little bit more of an idea about just how many things have to go right just for bare bones, satisfactory dining out experience?
Oof. I think that is the kind of part of the magic of restaurants. Man, the amount of people behind making all of that happen and all of the little decisions and all of them happening at the right time, it's unbelievable. So I think the first thing that has to go right is people are kind of already deciding how good the food tastes subconsciously with how easy it was to find parking. And the biggest one that I will always say is that the number one thing that determines whether a plate was good or not is whether they were said hello to in a warm fashion when they walked in the door, right? So your host actually has such a huge impact on the food. If we're starting to feel a little bit off or a little bit unwelcome or, heaven forbid, a little bit hangry, you are really like, we've got a lot to overcome by the time that food gets to your plate. So that to me is the start of a great plate of food. Service in general, I think, is a huge negotiation of who is this stranger? What do they want? And what can I bring to this unspoken dance that they're going to appreciate? So servers have a really big, big job here to kind of evaluate and assess who the table is. And when there are more and more people at the table, that gets a little bit more complex, right? And then the food is like, it's the main event, right? So, but if we haven't done any of those other things right before the food shows up, that cook has got a really tall order. That better be the best tasting food in the world. And it still may not taste great. You know?
Totally. Well, and that's like all this stuff is not even to say for like even just supply chain logistics of keeping a restaurant going or like.
Or like the worst thing in the world is the ticket printer jams or stops working. Like it's a piece of technology. It's a printer. It's one of the simplest pieces of technology. But that thing goes down and like, oh, man. You might just affect the next hour and a half in the restaurant. Yeah. So there are all of these little things that you don't even think of that they all need to be working and they all need to be happening correctly.
And mostly things that a customer doesn't really want to hear about.
That's
not
right.
Functioning.
Yeah, that's right.
The
yeah.
printer's not working.
Yeah.
That means nothing to
me. Yeah, go fix your printer. You know, like no one wants to hear about a bad printer.
Yeah. What's the difference between, you know, having a fantastic menu versus having a tightly run ship? And I mean, can a fantastic menu make up for a you know, maybe looser service, and can maybe a tightly run ship maybe make up for less fantastic menu?
There's room in there. You know, I think it's a Venn diagram, right? And you want some of the things to overlap in some ways. But I think, you know, when you say a fantastic menu, what I envision is I kind of compare it to art. You know, a lot of chefs are really, really creative people. But how you take an idea for a plate that you thought of in your quiet, climate-controlled moment, wherever you created this idea for a dish, that recipe has to be able to like go through war to get itself onto the table. So yeah, anyone can make a great dish when there isn't a timer going and when there isn't 50 other dishes that need to be made at the same time and potentially 12 other people that are helping you do it.
Yeah.
So it really has to go through the ringer of logistics And how is the translation process? How does this beautiful piece of artwork translate into the real world? And sometimes they don't. It's not a Friday night dish, or it's not a Friday night dish in this restaurant, right? So the type of restaurant matters too. So I think that the fantastic menu versus a tightly run ship, hands down, I will take a tightly run ship no matter what is on the menu any day. Because that's really what gets the same food on the table as much as possible, despite all of these crazy amount of variables that are constantly being thrown at a cook.
You've been in this industry for a long time, still continuing in a different fashion. But I mean, what's kept you in it? What do you enjoy most about it? Why are you continuing this path, working with restaurants and stuff like that?
I love it. Sometimes I get like emotional even thinking about like how special it is, what happens in a dining room, you know, and the restaurant's ability to reflect the culture of the people of that city is so big. That's my favorite part of traveling is eating out, you know, it's just go and see like, where do people go and how does this represent this quadrant of this city? And so I do think a bit of it is a lifelong passion. I really like helping people. I think there's something that is so quietly beautiful and humble about a restaurant. If we're doing our job right, you don't know that we're there and you don't know the millions of decisions that we put into it. And there's something that I love about that. I grew up playing the harp and it's like a performance. When you sit down and listen to someone play a 10-minute piece, what you don't know is the 8 months that it took for them to perfect that piece and how many times they've replaced a string on their instrument, all of these little things that went into it. For any place that I'm working, that in the same fashion that when you come in, you can be taken to whatever place it is that you want to go to. Just like with music or arts, it's in the experience of the receivers.
Anything else you think that maybe just either about, you know, restaurant industry in Anchorage or just kind of more about kind of what you do?
There is one little like challenge that I'd like to throw out there to Anchorage. And that would be whatever your budget is, whether it's eating out once a week, once every 2 weeks, once a month, I would challenge people to go to a new place at least once a month, if you eat out at all. And to try to really dive into the incredible amount of diversity of restaurants that we have in this city. They're out there doing really hard work, and there are amazing people telling all kinds of great stories through food all throughout the Anchorage Bowl.
That was my conversation with restaurant consultant Steph Johnson. You can get in touch with her at katabaticconsulting@gmail.com. That's KATABATIC. And you can get in touch with me at soa@alaskapublic.org. And that's all for State of Art. I'm Ammon Swenson.
All right. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us today. Our guest today was Delaney Nichols, creator of Alaska Beer Broads. I'm your host, Justin Williams. Ammon Swenson is our producer. Thanks so much for tuning in again, and we'll see you next time.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.